How do you handle the Tennessee Titans backfield in FFPC drafts at the moment? Is one AFC West wide receiver a must fade or a must buy right now? And what should you make of one huge shakeup in a West Coast backfield? Plus, eight-time FFPC Dynasty League champion Dan Flamholtz drops by to talk about 2024 FFPC rookie draft first-year players, his thoughts on Saquon Barkley in Philadelphia, and much more. We've got a great show for you. Farrell Elliott is here. I'm Eric Balkman. Stick around. Your high-stakes fantasy football hour starts now.
Can't stand the pressure. I've seen greater men than me.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now watching the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. Welcome to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for analysis from the best players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott.
Solace in the scripture. Are we not all our father's sons? I became a man nobody ever told me what a man was.
Thank you so much to Rob. Greetings and salutations to all of you Balkaholics and Farrelliacs. Welcome to the latest episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. I'm your slightly above average host, Eric Balkman. My co-host is the definitive commissioner of fantasy football, Farrell Elliott. Coming up on tonight's show, Farrell and I are going to talk about Nick Chubb, Aaron Rodgers, and their return to the field in 2024, and eight-time FFPC Dynasty League champion Dan Flamholtz is going to stop by to talk about Jake Ferguson, Zach Moss, rookie wide receivers, and much more. If you want to connect with us on X, you can do so at HSFFHour, at Eric Balkman, and always check out Farrell's Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship at KFFSC.com. You can post on our Facebook page at Facebook.com/HSFFHour and email the show at HighStakesFantasyFootball@gmail.com. If you have any questions for us, post them now. Send them now. Get them to us now. We'll try to get to all of them in the fantasy feedback segment later on in the show, along with the chat room questions and the tweets. Thanks to our best friend, or my best friend, and our audio engineer, Bryce, and our mutual friend and producer, Rob. If you have not checked out the FFPC website lately, let me just update you on everything that's going on. I sent out an email today to all the FFPC players. Empire Leagues are here at myffpc.com. What is an Empire League? Well, it's a dynasty league with a twist. 50% of annual prizes will go to the league's Empire pot. The team that wins 2 years in a row will take down not only that league's first place prize that year, but they'll take down the Empire pot as well. The league will disband and everybody in the league will get their deposits back as well. That is a fantastic new philosophy that we have with Dynasty Fantasy Football Leagues over at myffpc.com, myffpc.com. Now, if you're looking for more traditional Dynasty Leagues, we have those as well. MyFFPC.com is where to go. We have a fantastic Dynasty Orphan deal for you right now. If you saw the FFPC email today, you saw the promo code in there. I can't give away the promo code tonight on the show. Cannot do it. So if you are subscribed to the FFPC mailer, you already saw the promo code, which will get you a fantastic deal on one of the three orphan teams we have left over at myffpc.com. So check that out. If you're not subscribed yet, go to myffpc.com, subscribe, and you'll get these deals going forward, not only for Dynasty Leagues, but Redraft Leagues and everything that's going on at the Fantasy Football Players Championship, including but not limited to the Fantasy Football Players Championship, Fantasy Pros Championship that is live right now. So if you want to win $1 million in fantasy football this year, you don't have to wait till July or August or September. You can actually win it right now at myffpc.com. We have a $6 million plus grand prize in the FFPC Fantasy Pros Championship and a $1 million grand prize that we're giving away for the second straight year in the Fantasy Pros Championship. You can register for that. We have live leagues, slow leagues, whatever you want to draft right now at myffpc.com. So check that out. Fantasy Pros Championship, the Best Ball Championship, which has a $300,000 grand prize this year. That's $100,000 more than last year. That will start up, I believe, right after the NFL draft. So next week, early the following week after next. So after the NFL draft, we'll get those best ball tournaments going as well at myffpc.com. You get the best ball tournament, Fantasy Pros Championship, Dynasty Orphans, Dynasty Startups, and Empire Leagues all going off at myffpc.com. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on the video, share, and get notified as well as we go forward here with the show tonight. Dom Gazzetti already chiming in on the chat tonight on YouTube. He's watching us. By the way, Dom just signed up at the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship at kffsc.com. So check that out. If you are not playing in the FFPC, register for the KFFSC at kffsc.com. I always encourage doing both. Everybody, Dom Gazzetti plays in both. Everybody loves both. So check that out. Compete against Dom Gazzetti and myself at kffsc.com and compete against Dom Gazzetti at myffpc.com. Let's bring in the co-host with the most. He is the commissioner, the definitive commissioner of fantasy football over at kffsc.com. You follow him on the X at KFFSC official. Farrell Elliott, welcome into the program tonight. So glad to have you, man. Are you excited? Because we are, as of right now, we are 1 week from today. We will be getting into round two and round three of the NFL draft. Not round one. That'll be already be in the books. I am primed. I know you're primed as well. This is an exciting time to be playing fantasy football, Farrell.
I'm the most excited man in the United States about all kinds of things, Balky. And I finally lived up to your introduction. The host with the most. I have the most important news to announce. Aforementioned Dominic Gazzetti has joined the KFFSC and will be playing at least three teams live and requested that he be placed in one of the divisions, one of the main event divisions with you, Eric Baltman, and he's really looking forward to it. We heard from our friend from Austin, Texas, Mr. Brinson, this week, who's making plans to come to Cincinnati. But perhaps we can even twist our high school football brain trust, Lee O., to come and join us from Colorado. So, you know, things are looking up. I'm pretty excited about it. But, yes, we do have a draft coming. I've been waiting anxiously for it all spring. And now I realize we're just a few days away. I'm still not ready. But here we are. Nevertheless, we're here.
We are here. And I'm excited to draft. Like, I would look forward to drafting alongside Dom. Like, I will not to say that I'm going to manipulate the bidding on draft picks, but I'd love to sit next to Dom for an entire entire KFFSC draft. So that'll be fun as well. So I look forward to that. And I look forward to Lee Oldenburg, last week's guest, competing against him, the KFFSC. And we'll have another great guest tonight, Dan Flamholtz, who has won a lot of FFPC Dynasty Leagues. Perhaps we can convince him to come down to Louisville or Cincinnati coming up later this summer in the KFFSC as well. Farrell, before we get to that, let's talk about the goings on in the NFL right now. I want to lead off with something that's not necessarily new, but it's something we didn't get to last week. Terry McCormick, who is reporting on the Titans, said that Tennessee offensive coordinator Nick Colts told the media that Tony Pollard and Tyjae Spears are interchangeable, according to him. And this is interesting because he views it as a 1A, 1B situation where both backs are getting, quote, a ton of carries. So this is not good for fantasy purposes. And obviously, if you're trying to zero in on one of these guys, it may be a fool's errand right now. Nick Holtz also said that he doesn't want to tip his hand in play calling by limiting his backs to subsets in the overall playbook. Now, if we look at fantasymojo.com, Darren Armani, the godfather of the fantasy football players championship, absolutely pros versus Joe's competition. Fantasymojo.com is where to go. If you are playing in the FFPC, I highly recommend that you get a subscription to fantasymojo.com. The ADP on both of these guys, and I'm going to use the never too early fantasy football tournament drafts right now, which are both full. You can't register for these anymore. They're filled up. So you're going to have to draft in the Fantasy Pros Championship and the Best Ball Championship if you want to play in the latest leagues that we have going on right now in the FFPC. But if we look at what the FFPC Never Too Early Classic Tournament, not the Superflex Tournament, closed at, you have a situation where you are looking at Tony Pollard as running back 25 at the 801. And you have Tyjae Spears at running back 33 at the 907. Farrell, to me, I look at that and I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't believe they're that close together. We got to be buying in on Pollard. But then the more I looked at it, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, maybe the situation dictates Tyjae Spears as the Tennessee Titans running back you want to focus on here. It's only about a round and a half ADP separating them right now. But Spears is the cheaper option, and Spears is the guy I'm probably going to go with if I'm drafting in the KFFSC or the FFPC this year.
Okay, well.
And by the way,
how many carries is this backfield?
How many backfield? How many carries? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
How many carries is this backfield going to have? And I don't think either back. I don't think if you own either of these backs that you want them carrying the ball that much. You've got to. I think it's perfect for the makeup of these backs. Look, if you want an every down back in the NFL, you're going to be selecting from a very, very few ball players. But you're going now into an offense that everything is new in Tennessee, and you've got a quarterback that can really spin it, and he's put in his apprentice year. And I believe he's ready. You've now added a first-class receiver to go along with Hopkins, and you have an emerging tight end. You've got a team that is dreadful amongst the offensive line, but you've still got the kind of running back that can work within the elements of offensive linemen that are getting better through the season. You take Pollard, everybody was down on him last year only because he didn't realize everyone's expectations of him. I thought he had a fine year. He rushed for 4 yards every time he carried the ball, and he caught near 50 passes. He needed to score the ball more. In this offense, I think he will. He and Spears would be nice additions to your fantasy team. You say Pollard is seventh right now?
He is eighth. He is eighth, and Spears is ninth right now.
Yeah, well, you've got 20 spots on your roster. Get them both. And if you're drafting in best ball, well, it's easy. You don't have any decisions to make. And if you're drafting in the Empire, you've got a young, proven running back and a young, emerging running back. How wonderful that is to have those two players. These players are bargains. Go ahead and draft them.
Yeah, and Permar 99 chiming in on YouTube right now, he says, Tyjae Spears is the better value, younger, and the better goal line back per me. And while Permar 99, I totally agree with you, I also think that Tony Pollard is a nice little value in the eighth round as the 25th running back off the board. So, yes, we can still like both Tyjae Spears and Tony Pollard this year. I was a fan, like Permar 99, I was a fan of Tyjae Spears. And now because he has fallen quite a bit, Tony Pollard, I'm also a fan of here.
Permar's coming in with a lot of stuff tonight. You know, he's coming strong. I've been wondering where he's been. And, you know, he's this next question, take that as part of the next show because we could expand on that. Permar's on fire.
Permar 99 was hanging out in the High Stakes Fantasy Football show on the Better Sports Network last night and with Scott Pianowski from Yahoo Fantasy Sports and me. And we were talking about this, and Permar was chiming in on a lot of stuff. Remember, Permar was the same guy a few weeks ago, Farrell, that was telling us the tight ends to invest in this year. And Permar, remind me in the YouTube chat right now. Dalton Kincaid, Kyle Pitts, and there's one other tight end he said you have to invest in this year. I know those were the two. And he's saying right now for running backs, Tyjae Spears, Jaylen Warren, and Chase Brown. Take that for what it's worth, but Permar 99 has been right on a lot of stuff over the course of the show within the last 18 months. So remember that, it's one guy's opinion. This guy has been right a lot over the last 18 months. Permar 99 waiting to get on the show. Your invite is coming. Trust me. Let's talk about the Broncos here, Farrell. Broncos GM George Payton says Courtland Sutton is, quote, in a good place despite him not showing up for voluntary OTAs. By the way, Permar said Dalton Kincaid, Kyle Pitts, and Brock Bowers. That was the third tight end we have to be investing in this year. Mm-hmm. Now, with his contract situation, Courtland Sutton's I'm talking about in limbo right now. He's only guaranteed $2 million in 2024. He is not playing in voluntary practices with the Broncos right now. George Payton is not going to be the antagonist in this scenario. He is going to go ahead and support Courtland Sutton. Quote, it's the first week of the offseason program. Payton has talked to Courtland. I've talked to Courtland. He's in a good place. We'll just leave it at that. So we'll find out what's going on with Courtland Sutton for Denver for 2024. And we'll find out if Denver is concerned about that, because we're going to have an NFL draft coming up next week. And we'll see how high they draft a either a signal caller or a wide receiver, much to Cortland Sutton's chagrin there in 2024, after they have already signed Josh Reynolds and they're bringing back Marvin Mims last year. So let's talk about Sutton here for a second. Only 59 catches last year, Farrell, but he did catch 10 of those four touchdowns. If we look at Cortland Sutton's ADP, and this is what I always bring up this every single year, or this time every single year. I'm not a big fan of like being gloom and doom with contract situations, because I think these things always have a way of sorting themselves out. So I bring up Cortland Sutton right now, and this is a guy that's going as wide receiver 49 at the 1102. Technically, I said this last night on the show, he is being drafted as a wide receiver 5. I am all over drafting Cortland Sutton as a number 5 wide receiver on my KFFSC or my FFPC teams this year. It makes perfect sense. Capitalize on this, because I think he is going to come through with more than wide receiver 49 value this year.
Oh, definitely, Balky. And it's, you know, we predicted that this was not going to be good at Denver last year, and we were correct. And now, you know, what's been subtracted out of this, Jerry Jeudy has been subtracted out of this. So, and so you've got a focus, you've got a direction, you've got a player that has unlimited skill sets, and we don't necessarily know how it's going to work out and who's going to be the quarterback, perhaps. But whoever it is, they'll lock in on Sutton. Sutton will be the man in this offense.
The thing is, I was never a big fan of Jeudy, but I knew that regardless of how I felt about him, he was still a Bronco, and he was still a guy that either the coaching staff or the front office believed in. Well, now he's not on the roster anymore, so now I can get fully fledged into Cortland Sutton, and the fact that it costs so little, I am definitely on board for Cortland Sutton. And
don't let the Dizzle hear you say that, though.
Well, no, it's fine, but here's the thing. Like, whether the Dizzle hears me or not, you can get Cortland Sutton cheap. You can keep him on your roster, and it's worth it, because – the risk outweighs the reward right now. I had to cut down to one of my dynasty leagues earlier this week. In fact, I think it was yesterday. I had to cut down to 18 players prior to the rookie draft. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at it like if I had, and I didn't have Cortland Sutton in that league, but I'd be much more likely to keep Cortland Sutton on my team over Marvin Mims, over Josh Reynolds, over any pass catcher in Denver right now, like just to see what happens. And I know their quarterback situation is in flux right now, but that's what we deal in on this show. We're trying to figure out what's going to happen going forward. And I still believe in Cortland Sutton right now because his price is so cheap. We have, we have Dan Flamholtz hanging out in the green room. We'll get to him in a little bit. The 8-time FFPC Dynasty League champion. He'll probably have some thoughts on this and more. But we do have some news this week. The Athletic reporting that J.K. Dobbins, mother of God, has joined the Los Angeles Chargers from the Baltimore Ravens this past week. And Joe Hortiz, who is the GM for the Chargers, believes that Dobbins should be ready for training camp. Remember, he's coming off the torn Achilles that he suffered in week one of last year. Now, if this was a one-time thing, like I'd be more in favor of like supporting J.K. Dobbins in redraft and dynasty leagues, but he's had a lot of lower body injuries over the course of his career and even dating back to Ohio State a little bit. I think right now is an interesting time for Dobbins because there's a lot of Blake Corum smoke going around for the Chargers or just really any running back that they could be drafting on day two of the draft. And if that happens, it's obviously going to kill J.K. Dobbins' value. Now, as of right now, we're looking at a similar situation in Baltimore at the start of the 2023 season, right? We had Dobbins and Gus Edwards in Baltimore. Well, now Dobbins and Gus Edwards are in Los Angeles playing for the Chargers. Farrell, Dobbins is basically free right now, 17th, 18th round pick in FFPC drafts. How do you feel about J.K. Dobbins? What's going to happen with him? And if you have him on Dynasty Leagues, or even if you don't have him on Dynasty Leagues, what's the proper way to handle Dobbins, again, less than a week before the NFL draft?
Get him on your roster and put him together with Edwards. And let's see what happens. Where's a 10-point pop-up question for Balky? Where does Horowitz come from?
Baltimore. He's from Baltimore.
We're keeping it all in the family. know, we do. And he's not going to get, he's not getting in business with Dobbins unless he knows him, knows everything about it. He does. And he's bringing him in. Good for, I saw something come across my wire about that contract being disallowed. There's something in the contract that was wrong. So they'll rewrite it and reissue it. But yeah, he's going to be a Charger. And I love watching him run. And, you know, that's Billy Hollywood. Billy Hollywood said too many injuries for Dobbins for me. But, you know, the injury bug just could be on our side with this player. Finally, you know, last year they're talking Mostert, too many injuries. Well, you know, 23
touchdowns total later. Like,
there you go. You know what? I stayed healthy. What do you think about that? Permar thinks the draft has started. He's got Corum going to the Chargers very early.
And that could happen. I mean, there's a non-zero chance of that happening, and perhaps more than a non-zero chance.
Oh, yeah, I think he definitely would. Now, but see, but Permar's now talking about missed games. We're going forward, Permar. It's 2024. We're looking forward. Balky, aren't you looking forward?
Always looking forward,
man. You know, we're always looking forward, man. We got to look into the future. Past performance does not guarantee future results, but you know what? Maybe we can just get a full year out of Dobbins. You get a full year out of Dobbins and Edwards with a coach that wants to run the ball. You can take your risk with your 11th and 17th round picks, Balky. Come on.
I will say this as far as Dobbins goes for dynasty leagues, to kind of chime in with what Permar is saying. If you are able to get a second round pick, and I don't know if that's going to happen for anybody right now, but if I'm able to get a second round rookie pick for J.K. Dobbins, I am smashing accept on that. Quite frankly, if I get an early to maybe mid third round pick for Dobbins right now, I'd rather have that because I do think the Chargers do something, not on day one, but definitely day two of the draft, Farrell. And that's why I'm selling on Dobbins, because I think you have a very finite window to do it right now. And listen, if the Chargers don't draft a running back, hey, hallelujah, and pass the booze, and I'm on this is fantastic for Dobbins. But at the same time, even if you dodge all these bullets as a Dobbins owner, that doesn't necessarily guarantee you any kind of fantasy relevance for having Dobbins on your team for 2024. So that's what I'll say about that. The last thing I want to say before we get to Dan Flamholtz here tonight, Andrew Berry, and I think we talked about this last week, Andrew Berry, who's the GM of the Browns, said that Nick Chubb last week started running, according to a report in Sports Illustrated. He suffered a bad, really bad knee injury in week two on Monday Night Football last year against the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is the second time that Nick Chubb has had an awful, awful injury to that knee. And I think that when you look at Nick Chubb, you're like, okay. And I said this last night when I was talking to Scott Pianowski from Yahoo. I'm like, this is an easy way to just fade Nick Chubb, right? Just be done with Nick Chubb for redraft. Just be done with him for dynasty. And then I look at his ADP in the FFPC Never Too Early Best Ball Tournament. Nick Chubb running back 37. Nick Chubb at the 10.06 Farrell. I know it was a bad injury last year, but you're talking about Nick Chubb, a guy who should be, as of right now, the starting running back for an up-and-coming offense that acquired Jerry Jeudy, will add him to Elijah Moore, David Njoku, and Amari Cooper with Deshaun Watson, hopefully healthy. I'm liking Nick Chubb, and the fact that you can get a starting running back in the second half of the draft, Nick Chubb at the 10.06. Is this a spot that you want to be in business with Nick Chubb in?
I think so, because, you know, Stillwater's run deep, and Chubb has done some great things for fantasy owners, and you see him hanging around in the 10th round. Why not? You know, we just talked about Permar looking forward. Fantasy owners want to look a little backwards and say, if I can get some of that in the 10th round, I'll be fine. I don't think that Ford is a player that you can count on to perform and take too many snaps away from Chubb. When you begin to look at the board after the 10th round, the talent at the running back to me, at least in the FFPC drafts that I'm currently involved in, it just sort of disappears. He's the last line of running backs that I think you can count on, even with injury, to get every opportunity he can to get to those 200 carries.
You're looking at the players that are going before him in the Never Too Early Best Ball Tournament. Gus Edwards, Devin Singletary. And we'll see what happens with Singletary. I think there's there's a certain sect of people out there that think the Giants are going to be drafting a running back early. But Edwards, Singletary, Brian Robinson, who's got to be sharing carries with Austin Eckler. Tyjae Spears, we just talked about him with Tony Pollard. Zach Moss, Chase Brown, Jonathan Brooks, who the hell knows where he's going to end up. Eckler, the aforementioned Eckler in Washington, and then Trey Benson. Again, we don't know what team he's going to be playing on this year. Zamir White, and then we go on out, Jalen Williams, Javonte Williams from there. But Nick Chubb is going 2.5 rounds past those guys, going ahead of guys like Blake Corum, Jalen Wright, Chuba Hubbard, Jerome Ford, Zach Charbonnet, and those guys right there. If you just look at and take a snapshot of that section of running backs in the draft, I mean, Nick Chubb stands out like a sore thumb.
You can't help but to push the button on Chubb.
That's what we're saying here tonight. Like, you can't. It's really, really difficult when you're trying to win a $100,000, $200,000, or in the FFPC best ball tournament this year, a $300,000 grand prize. If you're in the mid 10th round, you have three running backs in your team, or God forbid only two, and Nick Chubb staring you in the face in the mid 10th, you got to click on that and make him a part of your team for 2024. Let's make this guy a part of our podcast here tonight on Friday, April 19th, 2024. The guy who is going to chime in right now and talk all things dynasty and redraft, a guy who has won 8 leagues in his career in FFPC dynasty leagues. And, oh, by the way, probably closer to 20 overall in his FFPC league career, playing in the Fantasy Football Players Championship. He's making his debut on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour tonight. Please welcome in 8-time FFPC dynasty league champion, Mr. Dan Flamholtz, the guy who is known as the Hammer, is coming in.
There he is tonight.
Dan, welcome into the show, man. Thanks so much for hanging out with us tonight.
Thank you for having me. How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing good. We're excited for the NFL draft. How pumped are you for the NFL draft coming up on Thursday?
I'm looking forward to it. I enjoy the draft every year. Thursday you get through the first round. Part of me thinks Friday is even a little bit better because you get a lot of quality players and you get, you know, 2 rounds, right? Mm-hmm. So, yep. But the draft as a whole, I even watch rounds 4 through 7. At least part of it on Saturday. So looking forward to the draft and looking forward to doing some drafts on FFPC as well.
Dan, are you a fan of any specific NFL team? Do you have fandom with any of them?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Steelers. Okay, this is interesting. We'll probably get into this tonight as well. But I'm with you, and Farrell, I've talked about this probably with you the last few weeks. Like, we have a situation in the NFL draft this year where we could see – in the top 10 picks alone, 4 quarterbacks, 3 wide receivers, and potentially a tight end. I can't remember the last time, as long as I've been playing Dynasty, where out of the first 10 picks of the NFL draft, we could see 8 skill position players going off the board. It is going to be fantastic if it happens. Even if it doesn't, I'm here for it. It's going to be a great viewing experience, and it's why we're not doing a show next Friday, because whatever happens on Thursday, it's as Dan pointed out, Friday, this is when we get the running backs off the board. It's when we get the other receivers and perhaps some tight ends off the board as well. And everybody's going to be paying attention to that. More to come on that later on in the show. Dan, let's talk with you a little bit. When you're not winning all these dynasty leagues, what are you doing for a living?
I'm a compliance manager for Keurig Dr. Pepper. So, the coffee and soda company. So as a compliance manager, I travel to our facilities across the United States as well as Canada, do reviews of the processes they have at the facilities and ensure that they're implementing control processes as well.
Okay. So I have to say something right off the top. You said Keurig Dr. Pepper, right?
That's right.
I did not know that these two beverages were affiliated with each other. Is this a new thing? When did this happen?
A merger took place about 6 years ago.
Mind blown. I had no idea on this because I am a loyal Keurig customer. Every single day I'm pumping in Keurig. I have a Keurig coffee maker, not only in the upstairs of my house, but the downstairs of my house as well. Depending on when I'm commissioning FFPC drafts, sometimes I need a little fix at night and I'm pounding the Keurig. And I love the Dr. Pepper, the 23 individual spices. I love that as well. This is fantastic, Dan. I had no idea. So are you getting a lot of kickbacks on coffee and soda here?
We get specials, right? But, you know, when we're in the building, certainly at our headquarters, and then when we visit the facilities, you know, obviously we have, you know, beverages at our disposal. Yeah, it's great.
I love it.
Oh, I love it. You know, Dr. Pepper used to have the 10, 2, and 4 label. You ever bring that back anymore?
What's the 10, 2, and 4 label? I don't
you
know.
You ever seen that? It would suggest that you drink one at 10. 2 and 4 o'clock, and I followed that as a kid. I followed that. I went down to the gas station on the corner where I had unlimited credit because the gas station owner, who was also the mayor of our small town, had one of those coolers that had the water in it that where the drinks just the water was cooled and that cooled the bottle of the drink.
Yeah,
and you know, I would just walk down there and reach in and grab my Dr. Pepper.
Well, Farrell, if you continue to drink 3 Dr. Peppers a day, we really appreciate it.
I've been off of them for a while, but, you know, it could become my drink of choice. What does it mix well with, Dan? Get back to me on that. Talk to me some. You know, we've had some very, very knowledgeable guys come on the show. I've been impressed so much, but the one thing that the player that seems to be most successful last year that's created the different ends of the spectrum about how you believe in this player is Rams running back Kyren Williams, 5'9", 195 pounds. We've been focusing on dynasty, and I've had some of the dynasty drafters tell Balky and I that they're not going to draft this player. They think last year was a one-off. He will – what is it? Recess? Balky, what's
regress to the mean? Regress.
So there, he's going to regress numerically. And I don't know why. You know, last year the player was just fantastic. I mean, every time he lines up against Arizona, I want to draft him, just play him against Arizona. He rushed for 300 yards in 2 games against those guys. He caught the ball well. He runs with abandon. Your thoughts on Williams? I don't believe he can be overdrafted. We have some people come on this show telling us not to draft him at all based on where he's going.
Yeah, well, I'm a buyer. I'm trying to get Kyren Williams on any team that I have. I believe I own him in about 50% of my teams right now, if not more. And as I continue to do more drafts, I intend to take advantage of the perspective that you just gave, Farrell. He's a fantastic player, bottom line. He played 82% of the snaps in the games that he played for the Rams. That's number one out of all running backs. Number two was Christian McCaffrey, and he played 81% of his team snaps. But no other running back came even close to that.
A true three down back, you know, that's
right.
You don't want Pollard, you don't want Spears because they're 1A and 1B. You don't get this guy. He had 32 catches last year. I think you'll have more. And did he miss 4 games?
He missed five games.
Yeah, 228 carries, missing 5 games, Balky. What do you think about that?
Well, the other thing that to keep in mind with Kyren Williams too is what however you feel about him, there is a unique buying opportunity whether you're drafting in, you know, never too early drafts for the Fantasy Pro Championship, because there are going to be a section of people that you are drafting against that do not believe in him, and there will be probably a handful of people, maybe less than a handful of people that do believe in him. Right. And so if you believe in him and you grab him before everybody else and he pans out, then, yeah, this is a big thing. I will say that I was team anti Kyren Williams probably 3 months ago. Right. But the more people I've talked about, and I know, Farrell, some of the people we've talked about on the show are like, hey, listen, the Rams are going to do something. with the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. They're going to do something in free agency. Now, they haven't hit free agency at all, and free agency is kind of dried up as far as running backs go. I am more on the side at this point that I'm willing to – I'm more willing to take Kyren Williams in the second round or in the third round, because I do believe – the options are drying up for the Rams to put a player alongside of him that's either going to compete or take snaps away from him. And the players, I don't think there's anybody in free agency left. And if you look at the draft, I think that all these players – to me, represent a 1B at best to Kyren Williams 1A. And that's why I'm starting to believe in Kyren Williams.
Yeah. Well, Hammer, do you agree?
I definitely agree. I think if you can get Kyren Williams in the third round, I mean, that's a steal. I think he's actually a steal in the late second. If you look at his numbers, 22 touches per game, and he ended up second in fantasy points out of all running backs on the points per game basis. Mm-hmm. So the volume in snaps turned into volume in production as well. And most importantly, when you watch the Rams play, Kyren Williams made such a huge impact on that offense. That offense looked so much better with him on the field than it did when he was off the field. So if I can recognize that, you know, Sean McVay can recognize that, right? Mm-hmm. So there is no reason for Sean McVay to intentionally go out there to try to replace a very good player that produces the way that he does. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think in the fantasy community, there's two things that are driving, his drop in draft value, if you will. And I think the perception that he's a fifth-round draft pick is scaring mm-hmm. some people away. Mm-hmm. But at this point, since he had such a good season, in my eyes, that is now irrelevant. It doesn't matter when he was drafted, because he's already proven that he could play at a very high level in the NFL.
And where did they draft Puka? Just for his bulky, where was Puka drafted?
He was a day three pick. We were talking about this.
He's a day three pick. Yeah. And they don't get serious about the draft with the Rams. They rent an Airbnb with a big pool and throw a party. Well, and then go draft these guys. Now we've got a lot. Hammer, how many FFPC leagues have you played so far since leagues became available? Bulky, was it late January that we started drafting?
Correct.
I've been on the clock for 2024. So, how many have you played, Ham?
Well, I just registered for my first one that's about to start drafting on April 29th.
Well, you better come on and get in it. So we have Mr. Rubio, who is a nice contribution here. He says all these mock drafts and predictions will be down the toilet in about a week. Rubio, these are not mock drafts. People are laying down hard-earned cash to play in the FFPC, to play in the KFFC. And compete, and they're competing against each other with the knowledge that they have for today. And you better recognize that, because there's nothing going down there. And Permar's just gone off tilt, Balky. I don't know what we're going to do.
The other thing I'm going to say too, and Permar's is offering, he's talking about Rashad White. He's talking about
Permar's got his own show going somewhere.
We're going to get him on this show. So
we're going to have to, because he's got a lot of opinions.
But I'm going to say this, and kind of what Dan was saying here. The Rams have had very few premier picks in the NFL draft over the course of the last few years because of how they've gone all in. You think about the Stafford deal and everything like that, where they're giving up picks. Who is better equipped to scout out these day two, day three guys than the Rams? Mm-hmm. Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams. There's a reason they hit, and it's not necessarily just dumb luck or whatever. Mm-hmm. Nacua hit because the Rams knew, we have to soak some of our assets and our focus into these day three guys. Kyren Williams is another guy, too. We're not going to be able to pick in the top 15 because of the previous decisions we've made. So, say what you will about the Rams, say what you will about the NFL and their scouting, whatever, but the Rams are forced to hit on round two and round three if they want, day two and day three, if they want to stay relevant. And I think Nacua and Kyren Williams are perfect examples of that.
Yep.
Now, a player, Dan, that did not go on day two or day three is Saquon Barkley in the NFL draft. Now, what's interesting about him this year is he is not in New York anymore. He is over in Philadelphia playing behind probably the best offensive line of his career, playing behind the best quarterback of his career, playing in the best offensive coordinator, head coach of his career probably. And some of that's arguable, but for the sake of conversation here, we're going to say Saquon Barkley is in the best spot to succeed in his career. Saquon Barkley right now, running back 7 at the 204 in FFPC Never Too Early Best Ball Tournaments, from a dynasty standpoint or redraft standpoint, however you want to take this, Dan. Is Saquon Barkley in store in 2024 for the best season of his career?
I don't think it's going to be the best season of his career, because you got to remember, in his rookie year, he had almost 2,000 yards, 91 catches, and 15 touchdowns. I do think that he's probably going to have his best rushing totals of his career. But I do think that with the Eagles' talent on offense, with, you know, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, Goddard, I think it's going to cap his upside somewhat, but I still think he's going to put up RB1 numbers. In my view, I think he's more of a 1,500 total yards, maybe 10 to 12 touchdowns, and maybe 60 catches, which is still a great year.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, you know, I think a lot of these new running backs, with changes of venue and changes of scenery, are going to do well this year. And we're talking about those early double-digit draft positions, and, you know, stumbled on one the other night with Zach Moss. And Zach Moss is a player to me, Hammer, that just never could exactly get the break he needed to be the running back that I suspected that he could become. In the NFL, he's a hard between the tackles runner, but he's also slippery. If you go back to his college career, he caught the ball very well. Good downhill runner. I liked, perhaps I fell in love a little bit with him last year when I got to see him have a big game against Baltimore early in the season. Maybe that's why his new employers right up the road in Cincinnati. With the Bengals, maybe they fell in love with him too. I see a guy that rushed the ball well, caught the ball well, scored the ball well last year. I think he'll continue to do that for the Cincinnati Bengals, and represents another early season bargain at running back. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I like Zach Moss a lot. I think he's very underrated. This past year, he averaged 4.3 yards a carry. The year before that, it was 4.9. Right, so you're almost in Kyron Williams territory on average yards per rush. He's also in the top 5 with the yards above expected, right? Mm-hmm. So, he's able to create on his own. As you said earlier, Farrell, he's a very tough running back. But the other factor that I think is also important, being a Bengals running back, is that he does not have to come off the field on third down, because he's excellent in pass protection. And we all know that offense runs through Joe Burrow, and they're going to try to protect him as much as they can. So I believe that's one of the reasons why they went after Zach Moss, is because he's also very good in blitz pickup and pass protection, as well as being, a very serviceable catcher out of the backfield.
Yeah. Zach Moss, running back 32 at the 906 right now. We oftentimes get nervous about drafting running backs prior to the NFL draft, at least this close to the NFL draft. But I'll say this right now, if you're trying to win a six-figure or even a seven-figure grand prize in the Fantasy Pros Championship, you miss on Zach Moss in the mid-ninth round. What are you really missing here? Like, this is the chances that you should be taking here and trying to figure out, like, okay, who can help me to a seven-figure win? Zach Moss in the 906, who knows with Chase Brown, and if the Bengals don't draft a running back and they have a lot of other needs at other spots, maybe Zach Moss is the guy who can get it done for me there. And I think that's the thing that we need to keep in mind for anybody who's drafting in April or even May, right after the draft here. Let's talk about Jake Ferguson here for a second, Dan. I think this is interesting. And by the way, Jay, I'm wearing my UW Badgers sweatshirt tonight, so I'm repping Jake Ferguson and his brand tonight. But Jake Ferguson last year came on, and I think anybody who drafted him late in the draft were happy with the results they got. Now, he is going much higher in drafts this year. In fact, he is being drafted ahead of guys like Dallas Goedert, Dalton Schultz, Pat Freiermuth, TJ Hockenson, Cole Kmet, Michael Mayer. All these guys are going after Jake Ferguson in drafts. Ferguson has moved up to the 6-12. Again, FFPC is tight end premium, so you have to soak a late six-round pick if you want to get Ferguson on your roster. What about in Dynasty right now, Dan? Is he a buy? Is he a sell? Or is he a guy you're just holding to see what happens?
Definitely a buy, without question, in my opinion. He's top 10 in receptions, he's top 10 in yardage, and he's top 10 in touchdowns. He's also the top tight end with the most red zone targets in 2023. He's an ascending player. He's only 23 years old. He has at least 2 years left on his rookie contract, so he's going to be in Dallas for 2 years. And we know the Cowboys aren't afraid to use a franchise tag on the tight end either, because they did it with Dalton Schultz. So he has – it's potentially he'll have 3 years with the Cowboys, and they like to use their tight ends. So I'm a buyer. I think there's no reason why Jake Ferguson shouldn't, at a minimum with his floor, be maybe the tight end 7 or 8. He might even be able to get into the top 5 as long as Dak Prescott is his quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And Balky, I'm glad that he's worked his way into the bottom of the sixth round, because I've been drafting him late fifth and early sixth just to ensure I could get him. It was one player that I was very, very happy to reach for him and happy to have him in the spring. I always so you know, when we have Bucky on the show, and last week, Hammer, we discovered that he spends about 15 or 16 hours on air a week, and you know, preparation for that has to go deep, deep, deep in one of his terrestrial radio shows there in, what is it, Balky? What part? North what? Wisconsin?
Northeastern.
The Northeastern part of Wisconsin. And, you know, you never get tired in that world of talking about Aaron Rodgers. And I'm curious, when you go to redraft, or even some best ball drafts, your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers. Can he be the kind of guy that you can count on to have a couple of 4-touchdown games and really give you a difference as your third quarterback? Who would you play him over? Would you, if you waited on quarterback, how long would you have to wait? Do you think Aaron Rodgers can surface in the National Football League to be any type of semblance of what he was when he was playing in Green Bay?
I think he can, but he has to be upright, right? Yeah. So that's the issue. It's not necessarily Aaron Rodgers himself. It's the players around him, and it's not the skilled players, right? He's got a tremendous running back. He's got, you know, a wide receiver one with Wilson, and, you know, they brought over Mike Williams from the Chargers. That's another one that has to try to find a way to stay healthy. But the key is the offensive line. Now, they did sign 3 free agent linemen, and they may add a Brock Bowers or another offensive lineman in the draft. If you can protect Aaron Rodgers, I still think he could be very serviceable and very good. He could actually put up, you know, QB1 numbers. Why not? He's a, you know, he's a Hall of Famer. And something about Aaron Rodgers, you know, it just seems like whenever people doubt him, he plays a little bit more with the chip on the shoulder, right? And that's where we're at right now, because, you know, people are doubting him. And I don't know. I think he's motivated to prove people wrong, and I think he just might do that. I have him in the same type of tier as a Kirk Cousins and Matthew Stafford.
And I don't think a lot of people – well, yeah, Cousins is going higher. Balky could break it down for us. Here's a question for you. Would you love to have Rodgers on your Pittsburgh Steelers in 2024?
I wouldn't mind having him. I'd rather have him than Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
But I am very happy that we did acquire Fields for basically nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically. Right. I think Fields has a lot of potential, and you know, I think Mike Tomlin will get the best out of him.
There you go.
I will say this about Rodgers too. And like, yeah, my Packers green and gold fandom runs deep, but I've seen what Rodgers can do. I think he's going to be good from the Achilles. He's got some playmakers to work with there. I think he's in for a really good season with the New York Jets, with Wilson and Williams and Breece Hall and so on and so forth. The tight end, like, I don't know. I mean, like, I guess is when he's had an elite tight end, he throws to him. But in the past, when he's had a so-so tight end or an average or even above average tight end, he doesn't necessarily focus on him at all. But Brock Bowers will be an elite tight end. We'll get into more of the rookies here in a second. But Aaron Rodgers at quarterback 20 right now, yeah, like, he's a pain in the ass to deal with in the media right now and focusing on whatever he's talking about. We don't care about that for fantasy. And for Aaron Rodgers to go as quarterback 20 behind guys like Jaden Daniels and Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert, basically has nobody to throw to right now. Yeah, sign me up for Rodgers. I think and for a big season.
I really like Rodgers as a third quarterback in super flex dynasty leagues.
Yeah.
Right. So let's say you have, you know, two younger quarterbacks, not necessarily rookie quarterbacks, but quarterbacks that are in the, you know, age 27 to 30 range that, you know, nowadays quarterbacks are playing, you know, till they're 40.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got maybe 13 to, you know, 10 to 13 more years of those top two quarterbacks. And then you got Aaron Rodgers as that third quarterback that you could start any given week and he could still put up a 20 for you.
Let's talk about rookies here for a second, Dan, and I want to talk about your thoughts on the rookie class this year outside of Rome Odunze, outside of Malik Nabers, and outside of one Marvin Harrison. Outside of those three guys, who's your favorite wide receiver in this year's class?
You know, I know there's some obvious ones, but I'm going to go with Malik Washington from Virginia.
Ooh, spicy.
I know he's short, but he's not small, if that makes sense.
Ah, yeah, I like that.
Right? So he'll probably have to play in the slot in the NFL, but two things stand out with him. He caught 110 balls at Virginia. And the year before that, he was actually at Northwestern and caught about 65 balls his junior year, which is also, you know, you're playing in Northwestern's offense. That's pretty good. But the second thing that stands out is that out of all these great wide receivers, and I believe, based on what I've read, there's probably about 18 wide receivers coming out in this draft that have either a first-round grade, second-round grade, or third-round grade. And out of all the receivers, Malik Washington is number one in tackles broken. Mm-hmm. So after he catches the ball, he's very tough to bring down. And that's great for yards after catch, which translates to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's probably a lot of receivers that might be drafted ahead of him. Malik Washington, my guess, will go anywhere from the mid-third to the mid-fourth. But I think he's going to be tremendous value for an NFL team. And if he is a slot receiver, you know, there's plenty of slot receivers from a fantasy perspective that have done very well. And I'll be looking to try to draft Malik Washington on a lot of my teams.
Malik Washington in the Never Too Early tournament, wide receiver 88 at the 1903. So if you're drafting him in the best ball tournament coming up in the next week, mm-hmm. if you're drafting him in the Fantasy Pros Championship, you can get him for basically free at this point. You're getting the endorsement of an 8-time FFPC Dynasty League champion, Malik Washington. Take a look at him. And oh, by the way, I'll say this too. And you can weigh in on this, Dan. The last really good receiver I remember coming out of Virginia, Dontavian Wicks. And Dontavian Wicks was – hold on. No, just hold on. This is not a Packers endorsement. But I'm going to say that Dontavian Wicks, outside of 2022, when he was dealing with a new coach, new OC, new quarterback, new everything there, and he was dealing with injuries, His 2021 was phenomenal. And the Packers got him in the fifth round, and he came on last year to outperform guys like Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs in certain games last year. There is something there. And Dan, I'll let you weigh in on this because I know you have Dontayvion Wicks in several of your FFPC Dynasty leagues.
Yeah, I like Wicks. I think he's underrated, but I'm a little proceed with caution with him, right? Because to me, I think the player with the most upside with the Packers is Reed, but I think the most consistent receiver with the Packers is actually Doubs. Mm-hmm. And that was really proven in the two playoff games last year where Reed really wasn't heard of all that much. I believe he had four balls total in the two games. And I think Wicks only caught two and Doubs caught 10 for over 230 yards in the touchdown. So I think when push comes to shove, when Jordan Love needs a play, I still think he's going to look for Doubs. But that's not to say I don't like Reed or Wicks. I just think there's just a lot of mouths to feed, and there's only one football.
I tell you what, if there's ever a quarterback that can feed them, I'm a big believer in Love. So that's what we got to have there. You know, I wanted to get Balky to roll his eyes when you were talking about Superflex, but I couldn't get it in time.
That's not going to happen. No.
I was going to claim to be an expert at Superflex. I played one this year, and Aaron Rodgers is on my team, and that's the only thing that I did any good. You know, we did this show a couple years, and I didn't have any dynasty teams, and I was so fortunate to be allowed to learn to play dynasty with the 26ers. One of the guys is in the chat room tonight, Brent from the 26ers. Those guys taught me how to play dynasty football. They haven't taught me how to beat them, but I've gone on to other places and beat some other players. I want to ask you, in the formats that you play, how are you going to work with the rookie running backs this year? Because you've got a draft coming up. Your drafts don't start until after the NFL draft. You know, I've been drafting all spring, and I took the stance that I'm going to leave rookie running backs alone because until I find the landing spot, I can't figure it out. Because and I don't think the NFL is too enamored with drafting any of them this year. There are a couple at the top. I want to know who you think who you think's the best one. And you know, I imagine you'll go Brooks from Texas, but you've hit us with some other players that shows that you've done deep research. Who do you like at the running back position, rookies?
Well, before I say that, I actually bought a team that an orphan that is now part of a 26er league.
Oh,
So I am now part of a league with the 26ers, and it's very active. A great
you had to pay your way to get in, Hammer. I will let you know I was invited.
Very knowledgeable,
you know. It's all, they are.
And but you know, to me, when it comes to the rookie running backs, when you're drafting before the NFL draft, it's very hard to draft one because you don't know their landing spot, right? So the correct answer for me is I want the running back who ends up on the Dallas Cowboys.
There you go.
But from a talent standpoint, I'm a little biased. I watch a lot of ACC football because my father went to Florida State, and I watch a lot of Florida State football. And I think, you know, Trey Benson's a fantastic running back. He's a three down back. He's great, you know, receiving wise. He's great, obviously, running between the tackles. He has the speed to break the long touchdown runs, which he did plenty of times. And a very underrated, and I know I mentioned it a little bit with Zach Moss, but he's very good already in pass protection.
Yeah.
So, you know, if there is any potential of a rookie running back being a bell cow, so to speak, or not having to come off on third down, to me, it's Benson.
I think it comes down to as far as the first running back off the board on Friday, because obviously nobody's being drafted on Thursday. But as far as Friday goes, I think it comes down to Trey Benson, and I think it comes down to Jonathan Brooks. I am a big Florida State fan as well. You probably didn't know that, Dan, and why would you? Because I live in Northeast Wisconsin. Why would I be a Seminoles fan? But I am. And so I love Trey Benson. I think that it's him and Brooks. We'll see what happens. But the Cowboys running back situation, the Chargers running back situation, I think is still interesting as well. I know a lot of people saying like, oh, it's going to be Blake Corum or what have you there. But I think that there is a possibility that Trey Benson or Brooks could go there as well. Let's get to our final question here, Farrell. We don't have time for emails tonight. So in the interest of brevity here, ask the final question of one Dan Flamholtz as far as his dynasty teams go.
I have to phrase the questions, Balky, based on who the guest is. And Dan has no negative aspect in his evaluation process. He's given us some great evaluation tonight. We have a Permar who said he was going to release the 2024 version of Puka. If you can do that, Dan, we will preempt Permar with your release of who the Puka is going to be. But in all seriousness, sometimes there's just players that don't end up on your roster, and whether it's conscious or unconscious, you just don't end up with that player. Do you have a guy going into your drafting season that you would say is that way? And then give me somebody that you just can't live without that we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah. So the first part of your question, for me, it's Jalen Waddle. It just seems that whenever I watch the Dolphins play, every time Tua drops back the pass, he's looking for Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. You know, even if Tyreek Hill isn't the actual target, he's looking at him as his first option. It just seems like every play. And it's nothing against Waddle. I think he's a very good NFL player, but I don't want to pay the price that I would have to pay to get him on my roster. So the first part of your question is Jalen Waddle. The second part of your question is, for me, it's still Christian McCaffrey. He's still my number one running back until proven otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So as far as is there a player? And I don't want you to reveal anything.
Balky's trying to steal my question. He cannot get the question.
Farrell, just ask it because you ask it better than I do.
No, I've already asked it.
Is there a player?
We've already asked the question. How much of this beer are you drinking tonight? Coffee and Dr. Pepper is where we need, you know.
There you go.
There you go.
Put some Dr. Pepper in that.
Yeah, you a little Dr. Pepper in there.
All right. So when, like, and I know that people who play in your leagues, Dan, are watching this tonight. Is there a player that that I don't want to say you're trying to unload, but let's say a player that you think you can get good value on right now, prior to the NFL draft, prior to the start of the 2024 season? Is there a player that maybe you're shopping around, or are you not a shopper? I don't even know. Some players don't like to shop. They like to see what offers come to them. How do you handle that?
Yeah. The one player that, you know, I made a trade yesterday involving Ramondre Stevenson. And that's one player that I'm trying to see what I can get for, because I think he's a good running back. But they signed Gibson, and I think if I'm going to ever get value back for Stevenson, the time is now. And the reason why I say that is he's in the fourth year of his rookie contract, and I don't believe the Patriots are going to franchise tag him. So now, at the end of this season, I think the value of Stevenson is really even more unknown, because now it's almost like he's a rookie again, because his value is going to depend on the landing spot. And will Ramondre Stevenson be able to find a landing spot where he's going to be a bell cow running back? And I don't think he will. So right now is probably, for me, in my opinion, the best time to try to trade him. And I was successful in doing that last night, and I packaged him in the deal to get Kyren Williams.
Oh,
so that was another, you know, league that I had just acquired Kyren Williams. So Eric, depending on when you looked at my rosters to come up with your questions, I have him on another team.
So what was that? What was the deal? What was the Stevenson Williams deal? What did you give up in order to get Kyren Williams?
I gave up Stevenson, Shakir, and pick 210.
To get Kyren Williams?
Yeah.
I love that deal. Farrell, I don't know how you feel about this, but I love that deal.
Look, you know, when Hammer says it, I'm signing on. Let's just call it. And Hammer, the only thing in Dynasty that I'm doing, our guest last week, Leo Oldenburg.
Leo.
Well, yeah, but I'm just going with the initial.
I go with Leo, whatever you want to call him.
That makes it cool. It's kind of like calling you Balky. So, you know, we short it down to Leo. Don't trade with this guy. If he offers you a deal, just hit reject because, you know, you're not going to come out on top. It's fascinating conversation. let's just reject it and wait to do battle another day.
I think here's the thing. We talk about a lot of stuff tonight, and we broke down rookies, we broke down veterans, but the one thing we came to a decision on is that you made the right deal in this Stevenson Kyren Williams deal. That's the biggest thing that we will hang our hats on tonight, Dan. Thank you so much for hopping aboard and sharing your analysis, not only on pre-draft but dynasty stuff as well. I know you got your dynasty rookie drafts. You have a ton of dynasty rookie drafts with as much dynasty FFPC leagues that you play in coming up a week from next weekend after the NFL draft is over. Thank you so much for hopping aboard tonight. Be good. We'll talk with you again soon, and good luck in all your leagues in 2024, man. Thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun, and I look forward to the next time. Please keep in touch.
Will do. Thank you, Dan. Be good, man. Enjoy the NFL draft. Absolutely. That is Dan Flamholtz, the 8-time FFPC Dynasty League winner, hopping aboard to the show tonight. Learned a lot. A lot of Kyren Williams. Farrell, we have not talked about enough Kyren Williams, and I feel like we got a good amount in tonight. But I kind of realized after talking with Dan tonight, I think I'm a Kyren Williams fan, not only for redraft, but for Dynasty as well, given the price that you have to pay to get him.
I always have been. And it's interesting to me how many of our good players are not. And we'll just have to see how that comes down. But that's what makes horse races, as they say in Kentucky. And it's really cool.
All right. So we got Permar right now, Permar 99. And we're going to reveal his pick here. He posted in the YouTube chat. He was injured last season. The season before, his analytics were off the charts. 2 years ago, better than Puka Nacua, who's a metric monster. This year's Puka Nacua is Florida State wide receiver Johnny Wilson. Now, here's what gets me excited about this. Number one, he's a Florida State guy. Number two, yes. This is a player that should be going in the seventh round of NFL draft, of the NFL draft this year. I can't imagine him being selected prior to the seventh round. He is a massive individual. Rubio already says, is he the future tight end in the NFL? Well, that could happen because you know what he reminds me of is a poor man's Kelvin Benjamin. Kelvin Benjamin was drafted in the first round out of Florida State, and Johnny Wilson did a lot of the same things that Benjamin did for Florida State. But I do believe Wilson is a little bit more talented, as weird as it sounds, because he does not have the pedigree, and he will not have the pedigree of Kelvin Benjamin. But anybody who drafts him in the seventh round, this is interesting. So Permar 99, I love the call with Johnny Wilson. We will see what happens with Johnny Wilson. Maybe he goes to the Rams. I've seen him going to the Rams in a lot of mock drafts from the pundits out there. That could happen as well. So I love the call here. Joking, by the way, Kelvin Benjamin was a poor man's Kelvin Benjamin. That is true. He might have been a poor man's Kelvin Benjamin from his own skill set. So I think it's interesting. Anytime we're talking about Florida State skill position players, I love it on the program tonight. And I always love talking with you about FFPC, about the NFL draft, and about the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship, which we will continue to register for main event drafts for at KFFSC.com. Please, Farrell, are you good with a Wednesday night edition of the HSFF?
Oh, who wouldn't be? Wednesday night is my favorite night of the week. My goodness, what are you talking about? 10 o'clock, Balky? Same time?
10 o'clock, same time. And Wednesday night.
You know, I will come back Wednesday, especially if we have this visual aid that's working with your hair. Every time you come into the
FFPC, that's
your hair is kind of doing a dance kind of thing. It's very impressive. And I like it, and that's really cool. And you know, Permar is just all over the place, man. We got to figure out what he's drinking.
We're going to get him on the show. We're going to get him on the show.
We have to have a 3-hour show. I'll just breaking down his Puka Nacua nonsense will take 30 minutes. You know,
yeah. So we have this from Permar 99. We're both invited to his family suite at Mercedes Benz. We just have to let him know the dates ahead of time. So I'm down for that.
That's good stuff.
We just got to figure out when that's going to happen.
I'm from Western Kentucky, Permar. I didn't even know Germans made cars until I was out of college. So, I thought they were, Volkswagens that people bought for their daughters to make sure they didn't have premarital sex. I don't know. But I'm good for that. Yeah, sure. It's a wonderful invite.
That is fantastic, Farrell. And we keep those comments coming. We'll keep them coming Wednesday night at 10 o'clock Eastern time when we have our NFL 2024 NFL draft preview show with you, me, and a special FFPC guest. Thank you so much, my friend. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you, sir.
That is Farrell Elliott, ladies and gentlemen, the definitive commissioner of fantasy football, hanging out with me on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour tonight. That is going to do it for our show. I want to thank Dan Flamholtz. I want to thank Farrell Elliott, Rob, Bryce, the FFPC, and, of course, each and every one of you who are watching live, downloading, streaming, or listening on an audio venue later. I really appreciate it. As I said, the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour will return not Friday, but this coming Wednesday at 10 p.m., it's going to be our 2024 NFL Draft Special. It's going to be fantastic. Don't want to miss it. We'll bring in a special guest for that show as well. In case you missed last night's High Stakes Fantasy Football show on the Better Sports Network or the FFPC socials, check it out. It was myself and Yahoo Fantasy Sports, Scott Pianowski, chopping it up for 2 hours. I will tell you this right now, in case you missed it. Yes, we got into a lot of fantasy football conversation, but we talked a lot about Wes Anderson movies, specifically Rushmore. We talked a lot about NBC sitcoms from the 90s and early 2000s, specifically Friends. We got into a lot of pop culture stuff last night, and it was good. It was fun. I think a lot of the people who watched it live enjoyed it as well. In case you missed it, FFPC socials or the Better Sports Network socials as well. Empire Leagues have arrived at the FFPC. Register for those. An interesting twist on the FFPC Dynasty League format. That's at myffpc.com. Go to myffpc.com to pick up one of the final few Dynasty Orphan Leagues that we have, or Orphan Teams that we have as well. And Dynasty Startups are going on. They start at $100 and go on up from there. Check it out at myffpc.com. Play for $1 million with the Fantasy Pros Championship over at myffpc.com. That is live as well. A $6 million prize pool available for you right now. $350. You can get that $50 discount if you buy a 3-pack of teams. And don't forget about that early bird discount where you will get a free FFPC team. Apply to your FFPC account when you register prior to June 15th and draft prior to June 30th. That's available at myffpc.com. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on the video, share it with your friends, share it with your enemies, and get notified each and every time we go live. And by the way, I didn't even mention this. We had Dave Tripoli and Aiden LaCoury go live Wednesday night with a special FFPC best ball tournament coverage live draft. You can watch that on any of the FFPC socials right now and check that out and find out where these players that we talked about tonight, myself and Farrell and Dan and everybody, find out where they're going right now. And when you watch that video from Wednesday night, again, we're going to have plenty of FFPC live draft coverage throughout the summer. This was just the first one. We're going to have much more coming. We're going to have much more coming as far as all the shows going forward. The Road of His High Stakes Lowdown, the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show from the Better Sports Network. Keep in tune and make sure that you're clicking that notification bell. So every time we go live, you will be able to participate in the live draft chat or check it out later. Thank you so much for watching, everybody. Your weekend officially starts now.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. It was broadcast live and was watched around the world. Balky and Farrell will be back next week with more analysis, more interviews, and more advice from guests much smarter than they are. Thanks for watching, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Anyone sticking around post-credits last week found out that Farrell forced me to watch Molly's Game, the movie starring Jessica Chastain, Idris Elba, and Kevin Costner, a movie based on a true story of a woman who hosted a high-stakes poker game in Los Angeles and then flipped it to New York City. I believe it got some critical acclaim from the Academy. I can't remember off the top of my head. I can tell you this. If you do have 2 hours and you're looking for a good way to spend it, Molly's Game is probably a solid way to do it. Not the greatest movie I've ever seen, but I was entertained throughout. Farrell Elliott, definitive commissioner of fantasy football and pretty solid movie critic as well. So check out Molly's Game. Check out the KFFSC at KFFSC.com. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll talk with you again on Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern.